The first reading this morning will be from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and we'll be reading from verse 11 to verse 20. Ephesians, chapter 1, 11 to 20. Listen then, for this is the word of God. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, reading from verse 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
Much of the gospel story is told in just that, in story, in narrative, about real people in real places at a real time. It wasn't like a lot of other holy books that you get, a series of principles or of statements. It was much more about Jesus being a person, being here, dwelling in our neighborhood amongst us. And so today I'm going to do what we would call the sermon, slightly differently. I'm going to do a narrative sermon, which tells a story through the as we go along. And the story is called The Missed Appointment. I knew they were meeting that night. I knew it all right. They had told me the time and the place. We were all to be there in the upper room, last Sunday night. It seems so stupid when I think back to last week, when I think back to last Sunday. Why didn't I go? How different it was then. Jesus was dead, and I had taken myself off to be alone. I'm not one of these people that needs lots of others around. Sometimes I wonder if I fit in at all. So I took myself off to a quiet place to think and to grieve the death of someone I had come to love. Someone I had spent the last 3 years with. 3 years. Oh, people had warned me not to get involved with this itinerant preacher. It's a passing fad, Thomas, they said. Stick to what you know, Thomas. The faith of our fathers has served us well, Thomas. But when he called my name, I wanted to follow. I really did. I wanted to be one of his disciples. His teachings seemed to make sense. Well, most of the time. And he healed and he did miracles. I saw them with my own eyes. I was there. He was different from other teachers, as one having authority, they said. But I'm not so easily convinced. So I watched Jesus carefully. I gathered I have evidence. I asked him questions, like the last time in the upper room together, when he was talking about his father's house and going to prepare a place for us all. Now, what was all that about, I ask you? Peter, of course, is right in there. Even though he doesn't understand where he's going, he's shooting his big mouth off. Oh, Lord, I'll follow you right now. I'll even die for you. How can you say that without knowing what's going on? How can you have that sort of faith? I'm not like Peter. Peter, the extrovert. Peter, the impulsive one, wearing his heart on his sleeve. No, I like to listen carefully and watch and weigh up things. So I brought things back to a more rational discussion. Lord, I said, we don't know where you are going. How do we know the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Well, that's why it has all come as a bit of a shock. Jesus being put to death and as a common criminal. It just doesn't make sense if he and the Father are in this together. And just when we thought we were beginning to understand all this. On the other hand, I'm not really surprised that he did die. We knew there was trouble brewing with the religious leaders. We had tried to stop him coming up to Jerusalem a few weeks ago. They're going to stone you, we told him. But he had heard that Lazarus had died and he wanted to go to him. And when I saw that we couldn't stop him, it was me who suggested we all go. Let us also go, I said, that we may die with you, Jesus. Yes, rather a pessimist, I'm afraid. I couldn't see a happy ending. But Jesus didn't say anything. He just went off and, well, you've heard what happened with Lazarus. The stone was rolled away and Lazarus came forth. Jesus had raised him up from the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's what Jesus said. Martha seemed to understand it, but I'm not sure I did. Anyway, the Pharisees didn't like Jesus doing this sort of thing, and there was much talk of conspiracies to kill Jesus and do away with him for good. And it seems they've succeeded because we all saw Jesus being crucified. We watched the whole thing, unable to do anything to stop it. Even Big Mouth Peter, who said he would never deny Jesus. Jesus, who we thought was a prophet, perhaps even the Messiah, Jesus, dead and buried. But then, last week, the other disciples who had met on the Sunday evening told me this incredible story about Jesus appearing among them behind tightly shut doors and showing them his hands and his side and blessing them and breathing the Holy Spirit into them. And they were all jumping up and down like a bunch of excited schoolgirls, full of joy. Well, I just don't believe it. I can't believe it. How can anybody rise from the dead? And Mary Magdalene, she says she saw Jesus too, not to mention angels. And the two who live in Emmaus came running all the way back saying they had seen Jesus alive, seen with their own eyes. He seems to be appearing to everyone but me. And all this week, the others have been trying to get me to go along to the upper room. But I'm not going, I said. I'm not falling for their illusions. Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. I need to see him. I need to feel the wounds. I need to know for certain. But you know, I feel so sad. So sad because the more I doubt, the stronger grows my doubt. And it would be nice if Jesus really were alive. Perhaps I should be more expectant, more hopeful, looking for him more, waiting for him like the others are. And when I come to think about it, he did raise Lazarus from the dead. Was he trying to tell us something then, I wonder? Was that a sign? But when I focus on the doubt, I seem to lose grasp of any truth I might have glimpsed before. Doubt, like the weeds in the story Jesus told about the sower, seemed to come in and strangle any hope. And the more I resented the joy of the other disciples, the less I wanted to be there. Perhaps fearing further disappointment, further hopes dashed. Let the others get on with it in their holy huddle. Well, that was all before tonight. Tonight in the upper room. A week has gone by, but I decided to make sure I wasn't going to miss out on anything happening this time. I decided to go along. The other disciples eventually convinced me to join them tonight. And am I glad I did. Just like they said it had happened a week ago, Jesus appeared in among us. Shalom. Shalom. Peace. Peace. Peace be with you. And peace there was. Oh, I could feel it. I'm not one for emotion, but this was a deep peace, a real peace, a peace like I've never known before, a peace like no one else can give. And then Jesus gently turned to me, and in that instant, I knew that he knew all my doubts and all my questions. All my uncertainty. He knew me better than I knew myself. And there was no anger, no disappointment, no chastisement for doubting, no impatience. All I felt was love, sheer love, as he offered his nail-scarred hands and his dagger-torn side. Reach your finger here and see my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Don't doubt. Believe. And so, little by little, step by step, doubt released its grip as finger moved to hand and hand moved to side. And I knew beyond any shadow of doubt that this was the risen Lord. And now I see, no, I mean really see, see with the eyes of my heart. And I don't think I'll ever be the same again. And as I lifted my head and looked into those loving eyes, I said the only words that could be said, my Lord and my God. And what joy there was, simply being in his presence, such joy, knowing that Jesus was alive. He was who he said he was, the Son of God, the Messiah. And now I understand why the others were so full of joy after seeing Jesus last week. But you know, none of us really understood what Jesus was telling us before his death, and none of us, apart from the women, were quick to realize that he was really alive. We all had our doubts, but Jesus came among us and ate with us and talked with us and explained the scriptures to us. And that's the convincing proof I needed. Perhaps believing is difficult for everyone at some point. I wasn't the only one with doubts. Anyway, I reckon that faith is just the other side of doubt. We all have doubts at some point, but we all have faith, even as a mustard seed. And looking into the face of Jesus, that certainty of all the things I hoped for, that conviction of the things that I couldn't see, began to grow. But Jesus isn't going to be with us for long. He told us that. So I guess there are going to be lots of people who are going to have to believe without actually seeing him. Wow. Imagine that. Believing without actually having seen Jesus in bodily form. No wonder Jesus gives those people a special blessing. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. That's what he said. Well, those people deserve it. And John, the beloved disciple, as everyone calls him, joked as we were leaving that this is all so much better than any Greek play he has read, and that one day he's going to write this down in a book of his own. As for me, I'm going to make sure I don't miss another appointment in the upper room. There's no knowing what might happen next time. Let's take a few moments of silence to meditate on how God is speaking to us this morning. Who did you identify with in the story? What did you identify with? What is God saying to you through the story? Let's take a few moments just to meditate. Loving Lord, present Lord, here in spirit as you promised you would be, come alongside us this morning. Reveal yourself to each one of us, knowing that you know all of our questions, our uncertainties, all of our doubts, and help us to see beyond the scars, beyond the cross, beyond death. Help us to see your resurrection glory. And as we savor your loving presence and worship you, as each one of us declares, my Lord and my God. Amen.